Father, I thank you for each reflected here, for those on the screen, those in first service. Lord, I ask that this body would bless these individuals, that we would always point them further up and deeper in with Jesus. And Lord, I ask that also in this group that they would give to this body that they are now part. Lord, I ask that you would allow for the relational connectivity, that you would put in the right spaces, that you would give much grace in the process, all for your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Super proud of you guys. I'm going to hold you with me. Go ahead. How about a little of that? That's good. All right, y'all can, thank you. Hang with me real quick. Now, Kari didn't know we were going to do this morning. I'm sorry, Kari.
That's okay.
Kari came to the new members class and signed for 4 hours and almost a large, I know, a lot of times you'll see her over here and she just serves so faithfully, those in our body, those within the deaf community, and those that are part of our body, and we just wanted to honor you and say thank you. So, a little gift. So, thank you. So, got done with the new members class, and I looked at Kurt Boudreaux, and I was like, man, we were here a long time, but Kari was here longer. So, all right. Friends, community. Friends and community. They are a gift. You're like, how many props does this guy have? We're going to try for one more and then take a long break. Gifts. Friends are gifts. They come from unexpected places and in unexpected ways, and even unexpected people become our friends. I was thinking about this last week. I had a buddy call me. And I was reflecting on the first time when we were getting to know each other. Did not think I would be this man's friend. I was new as a pastor. He was the student pastor at the church. He had come on 6 months before me. Staff was just a little smaller than the staff here. And I was out of the nonprofit business world and first time being a pastor, so I showed up to work. I had a collared shirt tucked in. I could do that then, and I had a tie on. And I, nice pair of shoes, and I rolled that way for about 2 weeks. And every time I'd go by the student pastor's door, who would wear T-shirts, jeans, and a pair of tennis shoes, he would look and just kind of scowl at me. And I'd be like, what did I do to this guy? What is his problem? And that progressed, and I quit wearing the tie. I dropped the tie. And a couple weeks later, we were in a meeting. It was kind of a dicey meeting. It was a foster care situation with, I think it was Lutheran Family Services and Childhood Development. And there were two advocates that were there in the room. One went to the church, and there was a mom there and the kids and all this. And this guy, his name was David, he was super passionate. If you're an Enneagram person, he was an 8. I always thought he was yelling, but he was just passionate. And we're in this meeting, and he gets super animated. And I'm like, dude, you need to chill out. Like, that lady goes to our church. They're trying to help. He's like, no! And he's getting more and more animated, and I don't really know him, but I'm not a fighter. So I look at him, and I'm like, dude, shh. There was this look in his eye like I'd never seen it before. He kind of looked at me funny. He's a little bigger than me. And I said, it's going to be okay. And he's like, no. And he kept rolling. And I said, you need to be quiet. Like, you're tanking this meeting. And he looked at me, and he walked out the door and just slammed it. And then he called my boss, who was on the golf course, and he said this. I don't know where you found this idiot, but if he shushes me one more time, I'm going to break every finger on his right hand. That was David. We became friends. unexpected people, unexpected places, at unexpected times. People, we are a mess. Yet Jesus loved people, didn't he? He loves you and me. The problem is, we need people to be like Jesus. I don't like it either, but there it is. We need each other. We need community. We need friends. From the garden, we have been created for community. Old Testament, we see community modeled by the nation Israel, very intentional, and it's continued in the New Testament. At an even deeper level, we need friends. Friends. Friendship was modeled by Jesus. Lazarus was Jesus' good friend. Martha and Mary were Jesus' personal friends. And then he had the three knuckleheads, Peter, James, and John. They were his friends too. And then he had the 12. And I'm sure there were others. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." Proverbs 27:17 reminds us that it's important who we bring around us and in our circles. It says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens another." But to make a friend, you first have to be a friend. And that's hard work. This morning, I want to look together at how we can experience authentic community and friendship. Specifically, we're going to look at the what, the why, and the how of friendship and community. We're in the fifth of a six-week sermon series called All In. We're studying Romans 12. That's the backbone of our study. Many of you are reading a book by Chip Ingram. A lot of this is based on his work. And in small groups, we're also discussing these topics. But here, we are seeing snapshots of Old Testament characters that reflect different aspects of Romans 12. A couple weeks back, we're in the fifth week now, the first week, Marcel preached on devotion this way toward God. Second week, I got out my knife collection. Apparently, I'm a collector, is what you're thinking. I have a little bit of that in me. And we talked about sacrifice. Then my favorite, the next week, other than this week's my favorite as well. We talked about not conforming. And I so want to hit this right now and just launch it out. What do you think? Debbie told me to, and I actually almost beamed her line drive, and she told me I couldn't, so I'm not going to. If you bring your catcher's mitts next week, maybe. We talked about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed into something that has weight for God's glory. Then we went from a vertical to an internal, and I took my big mirror home, but I did bring my pipe. We talked about what we see ourselves to be like and what God sees us to be like. And now, this week and the next, we're moving from vertical to understanding self to the horizontal. The horizontal. Hear Romans 12, 9 and 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Our fourth of fifth snapshots of true spirituality is the friendship of Jonathan and David. So if you would, turn with me to 1 Samuel, and we're going to look at little vignettes, little pictures of this. We're going to start in 18, and we're going to walk through seven different essentials for biblical community and friendship. And as we go through these, ask yourself, where is it that you need to grow as a godly friend? First, be aware If you look at 1 Samuel 18, the first two verses, it says, "Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. David was anointed to take Saul's place. And Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house." Jonathan was the unlikeliest of friends for David. This was the guy that was going to take his dad's throne when Jonathan, within right, should have received the throne. I love the word that's used here. And in my translation, it says the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. That's powerful. You see, God orchestrates circumstances in our lives. He brings divine appointments. He intersects our lives with individuals. And we need to be aware there are times when God will allow for great chemistry between two individuals. And that is a gift from the Lord. When the youth pastor, David, he and I got to serve 3 years together, we teethed on ministry, for lack of a better term. And then he went to plant a church about 100 miles away. It was as if two puppy dogs had been separated. I remember being so lonely when he left and thinking, wow, what a friend God had given me for that season. Be aware. Second, be intentional. Look at verse 3. "Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself." This word love and then led to a covenant. In the Old Testament, a covenant means like a tearing. They would tear something and one would take one piece and one would take the other. The word in the Hebrew literally means rending. And when we have a friend, what we are doing is we are tearing a little piece of our heart and we're giving it and trusting it to them. That is a heavy thing, and there is a high risk that comes with that. But it is intentional. We rarely drift into authentic community. This morning, because it was so cold here, whatever, I decided to light a fire with my cup of coffee. Catherine and I had been at a marriage retreat, which it was lovely. She came to first service. We're still married. We slept in a yurt. It was cold. That's all I'll say. But there weren't any kids around, so I went ahead and lit the fire, and I'm sitting there, and I'm spending my time with the Lord before I come here and getting caffeinated. And I happened to look down at my phone, and there was Sean Walker's name. It flipped up. He's the pastor down at the Bayou. And I thought, oh, Sean, I hit the text, and it said this: "Michael, I'm praying for you this morning." And he said some other nice things that you don't want to know. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And you know, it was a couple months back, I was praying for different churches corporately, and I had texted Sean one morning, said, "Hey, buddy, I just want you to know you don't need to text back. I don't even know what time you preach. But I'm praying for you this morning. I understand what you're facing. And I'm praying that the Lord works in you mightily over there at the Bayou." You know, he texted me back that morning. And he said, "I have never had anyone do that." Such a simple thing. Yet it took intentionality. No expectations, but just a little knitting at the right time, in the right way. Be aware, be intentional, be honest. Look at chapter 19, 1-6. Saul, the king, is now hunting David. He considers him an enemy. "Now Saul told Jonathan, his sons, and all his servants to put David to death. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, 'Saul, my father, is seeking to put you to death. Now therefore, please be on guard in the morning and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. If I find out anything, then I will tell you.' Then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Do not let the king sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you. For he took his life in his hand and he struck the Philistine, the giant. And the Lord brought him about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and you rejoiced. Why then would you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without cause?" Verse 6, Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan. He listened. You know, I don't know what would be a more awkward conversation than, you know, two best buds and one of them's like, "Hey, dude, your dad's trying to kill me." "Really?" "Yeah, I think so." I mean, slightly awkward. And yet, there's so much honesty there that David brings to his friend Jonathan, and Jonathan can respond. This last week, I got another text. I do things besides text, by the way. It's part of life now, right? And I had texted him, and I said, "Hey, I just hadn't talked to you for a while, and thinking about you, praying for you right now," and gave a couple specifics, and he texted me back. He said, "Timing's really good." And then he said this, "No one knows, but dot, 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 and I can't share with you." But in that moment, he shared the extra 10%. And I, as his friend, immediately came back and said, "Hey, thank you so much for sharing. I will pray specifically about this. You let me know." I've continued to pray for him. He'll eventually get a phone call. But he would not have gotten the attention had he not shared the extra 10%. Be honest. Be available. Look at chapter 20, verses 1 to 4. "Then David fled from Noath in Ramah and came and said to Jonathan, 'What have I done?'" Saul's pursuing him again. "What is my iniquity and what is my sin before your father that it is seeking my life?" He said to him, "Far from it, you shall not die. Behold, my father does nothing, either great or small, without disclosing it to me. So why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." Yet David vowed again, saying, "Your father knows well that I have found favor in your sight. And he has said, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, or he will be grieved.' But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is hardly a step between me and death." This is good in verse 4. "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Whatever you say, I'll do it.'" What a friend. He was available. When crises come, friends arise. When crises come, friends arise. Be loyal. Be loyal. Chapter 20, we pick up in verse 12. Things aren't going better. Actually, let's not pick up in 12. Let's pick up in 17. "Jonathan made David a vow again because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his own life." What loyalty. What loyalty. I was thinking about loyalty, and we have lots of loyalty here at Trinity, and I was trying to think of a picture. And when I first got here, Stacy came up to me. She did announcements. I don't think she's in here anymore. All 5 feet of her. She got in front of me. And she got a little bit of spunk. She looked at me and she said, "My job is to keep you from embarrassing yourself." Last week, she informed me that she had failed me because I had the mirror face this way. And in first service, I bent down to pull my socks. And I guess basically anyway. You know, words, talk is cheap, right? And it was about a month or two ago. Loyalty comes with a price. Stacy has become the missions director, and she had a missions meeting. And when I came here, I told the elders, I said, "Look, after I've been here a while, I want to go to Africa." And, you know, I've talked about that. And they were like, "Sure, fine, whatever." And then they got in this, the missions team, who was leading well, said, you know, it's not time to go to Africa. Haiti's had a lot going on, and we haven't been to Haiti for a while. Michael shouldn't go to Africa. Stacy was like, who's going to tell him? And they were like, you're the director. The next day, Stacy came in my office, and she sat down, and she looked at me, and she said, I've got some news. I said, what? She said, you can't go to Africa. I said, excuse me? She says, you're not going to Africa. The team said no. You need to go somewhere else. And then she looked at me and she said, how does that make you feel? Really? Which is gutsy. And I looked at her and I said, well, I'm a little upset. I was told. And then I said, but you made a good decision. High five. Because it was the right thing to do. Loyalty will risk, even at cost to self. Those are the kind of people, that is the friend you and I want to be. Loyal. Seven essentials for biblical community or friendship. We must be aware, we must be intentional, we must be honest, we must be available, we must be loyal, and we must be vulnerable. Look at chapter 20, verses 40 to 41. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and said to him, go, bring them to the city. When the lad was gone, David rose from the south side and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times. And then they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept more. You see, I think David knew the type of friend that was standing in front of him. Refuse to let pride and fear limit your relationships. Be vulnerable. On one side, we can be fearful that we're not worthy of a friendship, and that is a ditch that you don't want to go into. An equally bad ditch is when we are proud and we think we're better than someone else. Those people aren't good friends. They're incapable of friendship. But it is right in the middle when we're vulnerable and we refuse to let fear and pride limit who we connect to. It was about 2 years ago. I was on a little mini sabbatical, and I was talking to a counselor, and they said, you should really find one or two people to connect with outside of where you're ministering. And it took about 24 hours, and the Lord brought to mind two pastors that I have immense respect for. One's about 15 years ahead of me, and the other's about 25. And boy, are they busy. And I thought, man, I think I need to reach out to them and ask them to help me. It took me so long to write the email. It was stunning. And finally, I was like, that's silly. They can just say no if they can't do it. And I sent off the two emails. Both of the guys came back really gracious. The ask was something like, hey, would you take a call with me once a month, once a quarter? I just need some help. And when I got on a Zoom call with one of the guys, it was our first Zoom call, and I was like, hey, thank you so much for just taking the time, and you know, no expectation, we can do this once a quarter, I know you're busy. And he just cut me off, and he said, Michael, I was glad you reached out, and I'd like to be your friend. Doesn't that feel good? And isn't that what we want? And isn't that who we want to be? Do not let fear or pride not allow you to engage in friendship, one of the greatest gifts that the Lord has given. Last, be spiritual. Flip over to chapter 23 or scroll 23:15. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life. While David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horeth, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. This he said to him, do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you. and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you, and Saul my father knows that also. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. Be spiritual in your relationships. To settle of talking of sports, news, and the weather, that's not much. Step in a little closer with your friends. I like what it says here. He encouraged him in God. He spoke words over him. And then they covenanted before the Lord. David, I'm not going anywhere. You've got a friend because of God. So why Christian community? Why friendship? It is our relationship with God that is our basis for our devotion with each other. In John 15, 9 to 13, the context is Jesus' disciples, but in chapter 17, he blows that out to the entire church. It says, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Let's pause there. Jesus had nothing to gain by loving you and me. He had everything to lose, and he gave it all because he loved you and me. Jesus continues, now remain in my love. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. He loved us first. And in order to love well horizontally, we must first receive Christ's love and reciprocate it. This must be in play for this to flow out. If not, then we will love because we are created to love, but it will be about you and I. And we become takers instead of givers. And we will use those around us to be a means to an end instead of becoming a conduit that flows out in love. Hear Romans 12:10 again. Be devoted, continues, in brotherly love. See, if you know Christ as your Savior, if you have a personal relationship with him, if you have accepted that he died on the cross for your sins and he is your Savior, then you are part of the family. These that stood up here this morning, we check. We want to hear your story. We want to know that you have a relationship with Jesus because you are not a brother and sister in Christ unless you have a relationship. We would love for you to join this family. There is always an invite to the table. You see, it's not about us when it comes to friendship. We have already been loved so much. Authentic friendship in a community occurs when the real you meets real needs for the right reasons, not about self, in the right way. Let me say it again. Authentic community in your and my lives, authentic friendship occurs when the real you and me, who God has made us to be, meets real needs for the right reasons in the right way. Doing the new members class brought back memories. In the last season, like I was the guy that vetted everybody that joined the class. It was a Baptist church, and so there would be altar calls, and people would come forward to join. If they wanted to do anything, they came forward. And then once they came forward, they would end up in my office. And we would talk. I'd be like, so tell me about your relationship with Jesus. And we'd have this conversation. And I remember distinctly being one time there was a gentleman who for a long time had kind of, he'd been on the periphery, and he decided to join. And the day came forward, and I knew him. I knew his story. We went back in the office. I said, hey, just for fun, I have a little amnesia. Tell me your story again. And he shared the story, and we got done, and I said, hey, you got any questions? And he got real serious. And he leant forward, and he said this. He said, okay, now that I've joined this church, what do I get? Did you catch it? I said, excuse me? What do you get? You get to do a whole lot of things. He's like, no. Like, what do I get? And you know, if we're not careful, we roll out of bed any Sunday morning, any Wednesday night, and we come here and we say, what am I going to get this morning? How good's the worship going to be? If I don't like it, then I'm not. How good is that dude going to go long today? You know, it's human nature to be about self. And yet as we walk with Jesus, he is so gentle. Sometimes he just takes our face and he says, come on, let's go do what we've been called to do. Friendship goes out. Because of a relationship with Jesus. What's it look like? Paul tells us, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Authentic friendship and community is at the core of Christianity. And it's eternal, and it is based on God's very person in the Trinity. Listen to John 17, 21. Jesus is talking. He's praying to God. He says that all of them, that'd be us, may be one. Father, just as you and I are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Based in the relationship of the Trinity, from the dawn of creation to now, you and I have been designed for community and friendship that reflects his very person. It is a tremendous gift, but not one that is forced upon us. I was thinking about friendship and how we struggle sometimes. And I really think there are three fears that deep in who we are that will inhibit us from being friends. First, it's the fear of hurt and rejection. When we covenant, when we knit, we entwine, we pull off, and we give away. It is vulnerable. I remember being in Dallas. I was 26, and Catherine and I, we served in the community. We'd cook food, and they'd come down, and the community would come down in their jammies. How do they say that down here? Pajamas? Jammies? What? Oh, good. Got it right. And this guy, he was telling me, I was like, how you doing? And he just looked like a train wreck. He starts telling me how he'd just gotten out of a relationship, and he was bemoaning the pain of it, and then he got real serious, and he looked up at me. He said, you know, my mom gave me some good advice. I'm thinking, come on. He goes, my mom told me, anytime you get into rough waters in a relationship, you just walk away from it. Can you imagine that being the advice of a mother? And that guy looked at me and he said, and that's what I'm going to do. And I thought, I am looking at the loneliest person in the world. And where's his mama so I can slap her? I really don't have an anger problem. Second, so the fear of hurt and rejection, it's there in all of us. Second, the fear of just pain. just pain. Friendships can be painful. 6 years ago, my best friend from childhood died of a brain tumor. He was the guy that I first watched Rocky III with. And we'd walk down to the Ben Franklin and buy candy, hard candy, which I can't eat anymore, teeth and all that. We'd play in his basement and just goof off. He went to my church. We grew up together in the youth group. When I was in college, he'd actually come up and visit me and hang out for the weekend. I knew his wife. We were friends. I did his funeral. And there's a piece of us that we understand that this life is fleeting, and that there's risk, and that eventually there will be loss. And somewhere deep down in our souls, we recoil. I like what Alfred Lord Tennyson penned. I hold it true whatever befall. I feel it when I sorrow most. 'Tis better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. This morning, if God is bringing to mind individuals, friends, drive your roots deep. Drive deep into the friendship. It is a tremendous gift from the Lord. But there's good news. We do feel the pain of loss of friendships in seasons gone by. When I left Benton up north, I can remember standing in front, this was 2 years ago, ministering for 10 years, and some of my best friends were in the audience, and I knew I would never see them again. Life was taking different directions, and the Lord knew. And yet, I remember that morning standing up and saying, Christians never have to say goodbye. Only till the next time. That's powerful. When people ask, why would you be a Christian? The question is, how could you not be? It is eternal, the bond that the Lord has given us as brothers and sisters in Christ. I got great news for all of us. You don't have to be best friends, but you have to be fast friends. One more story with that. My grandfather, who had a long life and the last season, passed away, and he passed away from congestive heart failure. And when the nature of congestive heart failure is you ride a roller coaster and eventually the heart failure takes you, something will take you, but often it's that. And I was working on my doctorate, and I was driving from Illinois down to Louisville, and I took a detour up to Indianapolis because I thought it might be he had dipped down, and I thought it was maybe the last time I was going to see him. And I remember going to the front door and thinking, this is weird, because usually I come as a grandson, and today I have to come as a grandson and a pastor. And I rolled in, and I sat down, and they had me in like grandparents do. My grandpa was sitting here, and my grandma was sitting there. She was listening, and I was talking to my grandpa. I said, Grandpa, are you afraid of death? He said, well, you know. And I said, tell me about Jesus. And we talked about how he had a relationship with Jesus and that Jesus walks with us in every season of life, and he's gone through death's door, and he waits on the other side. And I looked at my grandpa, and I said, so, Grandpa, what else are you scared about? And he looked at me, and he said, well, he started to cry. He said, well, we've been married 66 years. He looked around me at my grandma. He goes, our 67th anniversary is coming up, and I don't want to miss it. And I looked at him, and I said, Grandpa, whether you make 67 or not, this is how it works, and how a grandfather will listen to a grandson once they're grown. He locked eyes on me, and I said, when you pass away, and you go on the other side, it will be as if you are standing, waiting in line to see Jesus. And just before you get there, you'll look back over your shoulder, and there will be Grandma. Look a little further back, and there will be me. You see, our great hope is in the fact that death has been conquered and these relationships march into eternity. Why would we not invest well now? How do we do it? Three things for your blanks. First, get connected. Second, go deeper. Third, share and pray about a significant struggle or fear in your life with a safe person. Let me unpack these for us. First, get connected in a Christ-centered, spiritually positive, relational atmosphere. I'm biased, but this is one of those places. If this place doesn't work for you, great freedom. There are other great places. But wherever you end up, you put down roots. Second, be intentional. Different life seasons bring different capacities. There is no guilt in that. I remember when Catherine had four little kids just orbiting her. It was about impossible to connect with friends. Hold on. Be intentional. God knows what you need in each season. Go deeper with one or two people. You don't have to be deep with everyone. What does deep look like? It looks like being honest. At our deepest level, we want to be known, but the price tag is honesty. You will not be fully known if you are not honest with those around you. Second, be available. The hardest thing for friendship in our culture is one word, time. So last week, I was preparing to talk about friendship. I got two phone calls and a text messages from past seasons. And I was like, I don't got the time. I got all these people. Schedule it. Make it happen. I'm going to go home today with my calendar and I'm going to give my friends time. Because that's what friends do. Be loyal. Say hard things when they are right and true. Always in relationship. Always with a view toward grace. Share and pray about significant struggles and fears in your life with a safe person. Did you catch the safe person part? Technically, none of us are safe apart from Christ. Your closest friends should walk with Jesus. Apart from Christ, you will struggle in friendship. Be vulnerable. Don't just share messes to share messes. That's gross. But share to grow and to be challenged and to be held accountable. Be spiritual. Well, I don't know. I'm not a priest, not a pastor. We pay you for that. No. Be spiritual. It's not hard. I'm going to give you three questions. You ready? Write them down. How are you doing with the Lord? Stop. That's it. Just ask them that. They'll talk. The earth will not open up and swallow you. Second, how can I pray for you? Third, how can I encourage you in Christ? You want to go deep? Ask those questions. Ask those questions. This morning, I don't have any post-it notes, even though I like them. They're doing an amazing job standing up over there, aren't they? I'm not giving out any liar's pencils. Thank you, Dennis, for bringing that to my attention. Apparently, if you hand out golfing pencils, who knew this? People lie with those. I don't golf. I'm not going to hand out any papers for you to get a paper cut on, but I am going to ask you a couple questions. Who do you need to reach out to today? Who do you need to be a friend to? It may be a new friend. And you're just not being intentional. If the Lord has brought someone to mind, you need to be a friend. You know, I got this box, and that wasn't really hard. I had it sitting on a shelf somewhere. But to require a little more work, we asked Kelda Poynot. This is not a Michael creation, but it is pretty. I feel like I need a kitty cat up here. Thanks, Jody. Am I ruining it right now? Whatever. Probably. Friendship. It is the knitting of souls. And it's a beautiful thing. It takes work. This doesn't happen on its own. Whatever. What is your next step toward Christian community and friendship? We have to be loved. We have been loved. And for that reason, we can love. Now, I will close with this. My good buddy, David, the youth pastor, this is what you need to do today. Are you ready? Let's see if I can make the technology work.
Kramer, are you alive down there in the bayou that, like, can Cajuns kill you and feed you to alligators? You're the hardest person in the world to get a hold of. I'm heading to Springfield for the pastor's conference. I had a little bit of time to call, but tomorrow or something, maybe Thursday, we need to catch up. I haven't talked to you in a while. Hopefully you're not gator bait. Talk to you later.
Be like David. Be a good friend. Let's pray. Father, friendship's hard work. Many have been hurt in friendships. Some are hurting this morning. Yet, Lord, it's your grace in our lives because you have loved us first. May we love well, and Lord, we are the beneficiaries. So I ask this morning that this body would go forth and do what they do, that phone calls would be made. There would be texts, coffees, lunches, more than the sports, news, and weather, but brothers and sisters in Christ engaging each other in friendship. May it be your work. In your name we pray. Amen.